Let's try that again. Good morning. It is so good to see you all this morning and to be a part of this special day with you, and looking forward to continuing in worship this morning with all that we've offered unto the Lord this morning and that which He has for us. And what a joy it has been this morning, but throughout this summer. What a great joy to celebrate communion with you this morning as I was sitting on the front row and just observing, not necessarily intentionally, but just observing as individuals were taking, and some just maybe for the first time, or some in just a regular basis, but others just so, some of you were just so caught up in the moment, realizing what Christ had given, recognizing His grace and His mercy. What a joy it was to observe as you worshiped the Lord this morning. Then two sweet twin children came right around in front of me. And boy, when those two children got a chance to get the body and receive of the body and blood of Christ and receive that blood, the bread and the juice, just to see their expressions and their, I just thought, Jesus, that's the very people you welcome to your table. Oh, to be like a child with that much enthusiasm and with that much awe and wonder and expressiveness, it just, boy, they gripped my heart this morning. And I'm so thankful to be able to be with you. Praise team, thank you. You did wonderful this morning. And so thankful for each of you, Phil and Marisa. Boy, it's just been such an honor to be a part of all that the Lord is doing here in Elizabeth City. For those who don't know, my name is Aaron Withrow, Pastor Aaron Withrow. I'm your district superintendent and have the opportunity to serve you for a short time this summer as the Lord has worked it out for me to be able to be here with you, and so grateful for that. It has been wonderful. Please be merciful to me again this morning with my voice. I thought I was all good, but I woke up this morning, I'm scratchy again, so I am sorry that you need to endure that. However, at least this morning we can rejoice that we have cool air in the sanctuary again and we're not sweating during the service. Amen. I've had an opportunity. I just want to just briefly, while I have this privilege, while I'm here, say thank you to so many of you. Just the visits we've had and getting to know many of you before services, after services. I've had the opportunity to share meals with some of you, have breakfast with some, picnic with others, prison ministry with some, and so much more. I'm thankful for those connections and the opportunities to do life with you. So grateful for that. And I'm just looking forward again to all that we have for us. Now, for our text this morning, we started last week in the book of Jonah. I want to continue in this study. So if you would, you can turn with me there in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. If you're a first-time visitor with us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And we have Bibles in the back that are back there for anybody for your use. And if you happened to pick up one of those Bibles this morning to use from the back of the sanctuary, or if you'd like to get one, please, you won't interrupt me at all. Please feel free to go back and get one. We welcome you to do so. And in those Bibles, you'll find the book of Jonah on page 742. So that's one benefit of getting those. I even give you the page number. So, we're looking forward to being in Jonah again this morning. Now I hope I got the right page number now that I'm thinking about it. But I hope I'm leading you the right way from the beginning this morning. While you're turning there, I want to say just what a joy it is this morning to continue in our study of the recorded history of the prophet Jonah. We only have a couple more weeks in this book. However, it's been refreshing and challenging for me as I've studied, as I've prayed, as I've learned from the Lord and studying about this man, Jonah. And a time when God called Jonah to a specific task for a specific people for a specific time. This is not the first time that God had called on Jonah to deliver a specific message to a specific people in a specific time. Yet once again in this season, Jonah is called, but this time, Jonah, as we observed, has resisted and has fled. As I continue to think about last week's sermon and reflecting upon what God had for me out of that message, I thought later, I said, maybe I should have titled last week's message a little bit differently, and maybe title it, "You Can Run, But You Cannot Hide." You know, isn't that a beautiful thing about God that you cannot get? You cannot run from Him. He is everywhere. He is everywhere He chooses to be, when and as He chooses to be there. I'm so thankful for the seasons of my life when I've run that I could not outrun God. So let's pick up the story this week when Jonah is thrown overboard from a boat that he was on, and then God appoints an unsuspecting manner of protection and deliverance for Jonah. I'm thankful I've not had this type of unexpected event in my life, but I've had some unexpected events where God has chosen deliverance for me. And it's not always the same story for either of us, is it? But every time when God in His unexpected moments has found you, has it not been miraculous? Has it been not miraculous in God's mercy? I don't know why someone's texting me during church. I don't know. Forgive me. It's on vibrate. That's a be a reminder. If anybody else, including the pastor, has their phones not turned on vibrate or turned off, please do so. Forgive me. All right, where was I? Boy. God appoints these unexpected manners of protection often for us, and every time it's miraculous in how God chooses to intersect our lives in the circumstances and situations in which we are in. In fact, there was a time for me as I was seeking the heart of God. We'll read the passage in just a moment. A time when I was really seeking and I was running from God and was still questioning, does God really exist? Is there really a God? Wrestling with those questions. Anybody ever been there? Anybody come to those questions, those times where you're really trying to figure out, is God there? And does He care about me? And if God is there and He does happen to care about me, then what manner of understanding of God is right? What supposed revelation is correct? I mean, do the Muslims have it right? Do these people have it right? Does this church have it right? Who has it right? And in that search of trying to find God and asking God to reveal Himself to me that I might know truth, in my ignorance, one time when I came home from doing whatever I was doing, and I came in and my parents were in a Bible study in the living room, and I worked my way up the stairs to try to be unobserved, and once again I heard these crazy religious people praying for me. So I went up in my room, and while I'm up in my room on this occasion, I went up and I said, "All right, God." Again, this is just in my ignorance. Bear with me here, and don't laugh too hard, please. But in my ignorance, as I'm there and I begin to seek the heart of God, I said, "God, if You're really real, if You're really there, if You're really all-powerful like the church people say, then God, make it rain right here, right now, in my room and nowhere else." I said, don't laugh too hard at me. But in that unexpected time, an unsuspecting way, God in all of His mercy, God in all of His love for a lost soul, spoke to me. And I heard the voice of God. And God spoke to my broken heart and my broken spirit and said, "Aaron, even if I made it rain in this moment, you wouldn't believe it was me." And I knew it was true. And I knew it was the Lord. Yet I didn't turn towards Him just yet. I was a little bit hard-hearted than some, and it took a little bit. But isn't it true how miraculously God does work in our lives in unsuspecting ways as we're drawn to Him? This morning, I want to step back just briefly into chapter 1 and then read through the remainder of chapter 2. And let's see how God intervened in Jonah's life. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, 'I called out in my distress to the Lord, and He answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep. I'm reading from a different translation from what you all are and from the Bible that I have before you. Forgive me. Let me start again from the beginning. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Let's try this again. I might get with it this morning. I just might. Isn't it awesome how God can use people like you and me? Really. Let's just take a moment, and even my little moment. Isn't it awesome how God chooses to use people like you and even me? Yeah. Amen, Scooter. He loves you today, doesn't he? He's working your life today, isn't he? Amen. Praise be to God. And he's using you for his glory and for your good. Praise be to God. Yes. Let's try again. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you've driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. And the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, meet us where we are. Would you do this morning what no man can do? Would you give us pure understanding of your word? And God, would you speak to our hearts and challenge us and encourage us and strengthen us? Would you, Lord Jesus, miraculously meet each one of us where we are this morning and bring a level of transformation? Plant seeds, water the seeds that have been planted, and you, O God, bring the increase this morning to your glory and honor and for the good of those you love, for all of your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thankful this morning. Why a big fish? Why not? Is this even possible? Sometimes we come to passages like this, and I've heard so many scholars try to come up with varying ways to try to explain this away, because surely it's not possible for a man to be swallowed by a large fish. I don't know, maybe you've read some of those articles actually in recent history, where not for 3 days, however, for short periods of time, individuals have, in fact, been swallowed by fish, been spewed out of the mouth of the fish, and have survived to tell the story. One was for less than a minute, but nonetheless, it happened. One was a little longer than that. One was in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, disputed as to the details and how long he was actually within the mouth of the fish. But nonetheless, I believe it to be possible. However, even if it were not possible, even if there were not these scientific things to show the possibility and the potential of this actually being able to take place, We do serve a God who does the impossible. We do serve a God who is supernatural and acts supernaturally when he chooses to do so. And too often, my friends, we focus so much on the natural world around us because God has made us such able beings that we focus too little on the very supernatural reality of who God is. He is supernatural. He does act supernaturally, and he chooses to do so for your good and for mine. I'm thankful this morning for the miraculous ways in which God led me to a relationship with him. I'm thankful today for the miraculous ways that God chooses to continue to use me, his continual call in my life for various areas of my life. I'm thankful, and I feel important. I feel it's an important enough note to stop and pause here for a moment with this statement about God's call. He calls each of us, but first and foremost, what does he call us to? To him, salvation, relationship with him, to live in him, to grow in him, to know him personally and intimately. First and foremost, my friends, is just to know him, to fall in love with him, to grow in that walk in relationship with him. Secondly, for ministry, each and every one of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ have a calling of God for ministry and for service. It doesn't look the same for everybody. It does not need to look the same for everybody. And sometimes it's for a season. And sometimes I think we need to learn the season we're in, accept the season we're in, and do that well. Let me give you an example. My precious bride is a mother of 9 sweet, sweet children. Right now, my bride's greatest call of God is to disciple those children and to raise those children for the kingdom and the glory of God. Amen? There may come a time that God will extend that call to other areas of life, but her calling and responsibility is not for everything and anything outside of that. And if she steps out of that or thinks she's to do something more and something greater, and she can miss the blessing of what God's called her to and not do the best job she can in what God's called her to. So my dear friends, the message last week and this week and the next couple weeks, don't hear the call and be falsely convicted you're not doing enough. If you've heard the voice of God and you're being obedient to the voice of God, then walk in accordance to what God's called you to do. Amen? Receive peace that you're doing what he's asked you. Don't let someone pressure you into doing something God has not called you to do. And friends, be careful. We're not pressuring someone into what God's not called them to do. I was talking with another brother the other day, and we were talking about the prison. And I love prison ministry. And I pray that God would raise more of you up for that ministry. But then I was talking to somebody else. Said, you know, God didn't lead me to that, but I got to go and serve food to people who needed food. Praise be to God. Amen. And that's what makes up the body. We together fulfill those things and to walk in all that God has for us. Thank you for my commercial. Back to Jonah 1 and 2. Now that we see that it is possible to, in fact, be swallowed by a great fish, especially when God is involved. Of course, remember, he has created all the heavens. He's created the heavens and the earth and all life contained within it. And I think he knows how to order those things together for the good of those he loves. Now, I believe that's a big point, a necessary point to wrestle with, to think on, to ponder. Pardon me for a moment. Bigger still, God hears and God answers. God hears and God answers. If there's one thing that so often when I am in my devotional times with a couple discipleship groups that I have the opportunity to be a part of, we regularly spend time in the Psalms and studying the Psalms together. In my own devotional life, I regularly, on a daily basis, pick the Psalms of the day. Today, Psalm 6, Psalm 36, Psalm 66, etc., working through the Psalms and work on the Psalms of the day. Throughout that, I learn to strive to call on God by name. So I read the text, but also reflect upon all that God has done in my life over the past few days, or past week, or past hour sometimes for that matter. And I learn to call upon God by name, of who He is, and worship Him accordingly. One occasion, I kept recognizing and realizing that as we go through the Psalms so much, I realize that God hears. That may sound overly simplified, but church, He hears. He hears what's going on in your life. He is a God who hears. He's a God who cares to hear and cares about what's going on in the circumstances of your life. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, it says, I called out to the Lord in my great trouble. And if that's the end of the story, that's a sad note. But it doesn't end there. And the text says, and He answered me. Now, I would like you to do this morning so that the rest of the congregation can see and bear witness to this. How many of you at any other season in your life, you have called out to the Lord in your trouble, in your distress, and you are certain that He answered you in the midst of that? Would you raise up your hand? Now, I want you all to look around. Keep your hands raised for a minute. Look around. Church, that's an awesome thing, amen? That He hears us, and we undoubtedly know that He answered me. I was kind of thinking of a Ghostbusters theme this morning, but thankfully your secretary redirected me in my theme. But was going to say, you know, when you're in distress, who do you call? I don't know. Anyway, forgive me. But as we look at this throughout the Psalms, in fact, that's what Jonah chapter 2 is a psalm for all intents and purposes. It's Hebrew poetry. This prayer is written poetically as He's given the heartbeat or the context of that which Jonah is crying out to the Lord about. Speaks about all that has overcome him. The burden, the weight, the place of being in agony, of being at the lowest parts of the earth. And yet in the midst of that, he cries out to God in his distress. He cries out to God in his great trouble. And God hears. And God cares. And God answered. Some of the other psalms, I want us to look at just a few other psalms this morning for a further context in this. It doesn't sound a whole lot different from the book of Jonah. Hear this. You can write it in your notes and just hear it with me this morning and go back and look at these later. Psalm 18 is one. It says this, beginning with verse 4. Forgive me. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Now hear it. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came in to his ears. Oh, praise be to God. Doesn't end there. Goes on. I mean, it's all through the Psalms. I just picked out a few as a reference here this morning. Psalm 81, beginning with verse 7. You called in trouble, and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me. Let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. Does this not sound like Jonah? God called Jonah. Jonah heard what he wanted to hear. Jonah chose to do what Jonah wanted to do instead of what God had asked him to do. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And did God force him? He gave him over to the stubbornness of his own heart and experienced great turmoil and distress in his life. Continues though, verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. What a beautiful thing. In fact, even the antidote to verse 12, verse 12 says, so I gave them over the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. The antidote is the very next verse. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Oh, that Elizabeth City would listen to me and walk according to my ways. Oh, that Pastor Aaron would listen to me and walk according to my ways. My dear friends, it's a call of the Lord for each of us to live and to dwell in his presence, his goodness, his glory. How about the song of ascents as they all ascend to Jerusalem, ascend in the very presence of God? Psalm 120, verse 1. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. How about Psalm 130? Again, verse 1. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. My friends, one thing, kind of a side note, a little side commercial. Again, one thing that we need to learn this morning is to learn to cry out of the depths of our heart. I'm talking from the very depths of our heart. Amen, church? To really cry out to the Lord. Yes, it's good to pray every day. Yes, it's good to have those prayers. Lord, be with so-and-so and be with this situation. Guide my day. Praise be to God. Pray those prayers every day. Amen? But then there comes times in our life when, like when the church gathers on the 10th to pray for Colin. Even though it may only be a 30-minute time of gathering together, may we cry out to God with all of our heart, asking God for mercy, asking God to hear his people pray. Amen, church? There's a time to pray casually. There's a time to cry out to God with all that we are, every fiber of our being. These psalms that I just read, do they not sound a lot like Jonah chapter 2, verses 2 through 9? Sounds like we're rereading Jonah's prayer, but it's out of the depths that Jonah finds himself that he's crying out to God. He's in a position where he recognizes he cannot get out of this alone. Sometimes, my dear friends, we need to be put in such a place. You know, we hear the phrase so often, God never puts us through things beyond what we can endure. I've not really read that in the Bible. I get the idea. I've said it. I think I've said it behind the pulpit. But I don't think it's true. In fact, God put Jonah in a place beyond what Jonah could control. I think God put Jonah in a place beyond what he could do anything about. The difference is, my friends, is that God meets us when we're in those places when we can't do anything about it. He does not leave us nor forsake us. He meets us right in the heart of our trouble. He meets us right in the heart of our sorrows. He meets us right in the midst of our joys. He meets us. He cares for us. He loves us. Verse 7, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Boy, I think that says it all. My earnest prayer. This reminds me of another psalm that reminds me of the very thing that entangles us most. Let's think for a moment, church, what... Forgive me this morning. Of what entangles us the most? It's our own disobedience before the Lord. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are just bad situations. Sometimes things just happen and we find ourselves in a bad place. It wasn't your fault, wasn't anyone else's fault. Colin, it's no one's fault what happened. It happened. And we pray and ask God for mercy in the midst of all of that and for God to use it for his glory and for his good. Amen? But there's also times we find ourselves in places and we know that we're there because of something we've done. Jonah knows why he's in the belly of a fish. He knows what has entangled him. He knows what has held him back. He knows why he's grieving in this season. He knows why he feels as though his life is slipping away. One thing in that prayer that I think seems to be missing, maybe it's in the heart of it. God knew the heart of Jonah, but it was actually a prayer of confession. God, I've done wrong, forgive me. I always expect that in that prayer. Finally, maybe at the end, right before the fish throws Jonah back out, is, oh God, I've sinned so greatly against you, but it seems to be missing. But is it not his sin that put him in this very place? His rejection of what God had for him, in fact, his running from the Lord? Reminds me of this psalm, Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Listen, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. Let's pause there for a moment. Some of us may experience some sense of that this weekend with all the heat if you've endured. My family thought it was, see, we're not from around here. So Kansas, there's no beaches. So we had the bright idea, you know, let's not spend out a safe, reasonable hour at the beach. Let's spend 12 hours at the beach where we can enjoy it all day long and experience the fireworks later. And if you saw my body underneath this shirt that is aching at the moment, you would be like, what were you thinking? I feel maybe a little bit like what Jonah was thinking in that moment, just being overcome by the heat of the day. Anybody ever experienced anything? Y'all are smarter than that, I know. But it was fun. Anyway. But that's what sin does to us, doesn't it? When we live in it and we keep it silent to ourselves, whatever those things are, we keep it a secret and we think no one else knows what I've done. No one else sees those private moments. No one else has a clue what I really am hiding in my heart and my life. That I can keep it a secret all day long. My parents don't know. My siblings don't know. My spouse doesn't know. And we hide those things in our heart and our mind and our soul. But over time, my dear friends, what does that begin to do to us? Over time, just like the psalmist in Psalm 32, we begin to feel the weight of what that sin is doing to our life. Over time, it begins to crumble us because it desires to destroy us. It desires to have us. The psalmist says, as long as I kept silent, my body was wasting away. Jonah, in a little bit more of a physical way, his body was wasting away in the midst of the fish. But then he says in verse 5 of Psalm 32, I acknowledged my sin to you, this confession to God. I acknowledged my sin to you, my iniquity, my sin, I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions or my sins to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. The psalm goes on. But something that gets me every time I read that is God goes so far to not just forgive my sin, but even the guilt that I carry from it. Oh, my dear friends, that is good news today. Some of us need to let go of the guilt. Some of us have been forgiven. Some of us are having victory over areas of our life, yet we still hold on to the guilt of our past. God has forgotten it. Why haven't you? My dear friends, if God can forgive our guilt and let it go, it's time to let go of some of those things from ages past. In fact, there's some of you this morning in the congregation that because of sins you committed as a teenager or as a young man or a young lady, you still hold on to those things and you wonder. You wonder, this action that's going on in my life, is it because of that thing I did 30 years ago? Some of you wonder, is the reason why I've never been able to have children because of how I acted as a teenager? Fill in the blank of the various things I don't need to fill in the blank. You know what's on your heart about the things you wonder and question about. Is God still holding that against me? But my dear friends, if you've confessed your sin, He has forgiven your sin. He has cleansed you of all unrighteousness. He does not hold those things against us for years to come. He has forgiven you and cleansed you. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the guilt. For when we confess our sin before God, He doesn't just cleanse us of our sin, but even the guilt of our sin. We can live in freedom. We can live in peace. Stop listening to the lie of the enemy. You are not a failure. You're a child of God. He loves you today, and He wants to rescue you from the pit you find yourself in today. What was the key for Jonah? Special words, the right words, whether he repented or not, whether he could. It was, I believe, what it really was. We read a moment ago that he cried out to the Lord earnestly. Earnestly. He was real with God. Whatever your circumstances are today, don't worry about the right words or the right way to say it or what you're going to miss or what you're going to leave out. Just be earnest in who you are with Him. You see, my dear friends, we miss out because we don't turn to Him. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies." Let me read that again. I know if you're like me, you probably don't catch every word of every sermon. It's okay. I'll try to accept that. I once heard a preacher say one time in a preaching class, he said, one myth y'all need to learn and understand is that one, that everyone's not just dying to cling to every word you say when you preach. Like, I'm astounded by that. Really, I am. But I realize there's times in our minds wander, our minds go here. Like, let's draw back for a moment. Come back with me for a moment and hear this. I read it just a moment ago. I'll read it again. Verse 8. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. I read another translation, said it this way, that helped me and my mind process it a little bit better. It says this: those who worship worthless idols forget the mercy that could be theirs. You see, we cheat ourselves, my friends. The blessings and mercies of God are yours and mine. He longs to give them to you. It's His gift to you. And He's saying, here. It's not God withholding something from us. It's us not reaching out and receiving that which God has for us. Maybe in our pride, maybe in our arrogance. Maybe we think, I'm not worthy. I've gone too far. I'm out of God's reach. When all along God, with tears streaming from His eyes, is willing to offer you His mercies, His grace, His love, His provision, His care, His goodness. But we believe the lies of the enemy and the lies we fill our own hearts and minds with. Are we too far from God's reach? Was Jonah too far from God's reach? Is there anywhere Jonah could go to get away from God's presence? Is there any way, anywhere Jonah could go to get away from God's love, His mercy, His voice? Is there any extent or place you can go to get away from Him? Have we gone too far for God's reach? My dear friends, we cheat ourselves. We rob ourselves of the blessings God wants to bring to us and to our neighbors and to our brothers. Oh, and in Jonah's case, yes, my dear friends, even to those who have hurt us, even to those who have cursed us and our families, even those who have done unspeakable things to us, yes, even to that person, God in His great infinite wisdom and love and mercy wants to extend to them. And you know what? God may know that you may be the best voice for that person. And God might say, I want to bless them. I want to forgive them. I want to give them a new life. I want to give them a new start. Will you be my voice? Oh, well, you all were okay whenever I was talking about our own sin and coming to terms, but now talking about someone else's sin who's done unspeakable things to me? Let me pause there for a moment. Don't go to those situations without hearing Jesus, but when you've heard the voice of God, do not run from it. Amen? It's a big difference. But I believe the Lord's speaking to some of us to learn to go to even those who've heard us. I'm going to wrap up here before too long. The big question then, my third point, if you followed my points, I don't know if I could repeat them to you right now, but my third point. But does God hear me? I'm thankful to hear the yeah from where I heard it from, because sometimes there's some of us who feel like we've gone too far and he doesn't hear, but that's a lie of the enemy. And what if in my heart I know that I'm not heeding his call, and right now I just can't let go of my anger, my hurt, my pain to reach out to that one? What hinders our prayers, church? 1 Peter 3:7 says, gives a warning to our husband, to husbands, when we mistreat our wives and when things aren't right at home, that hinders our prayers. James chapter 4, verse 3 speaks about our motives, that God does not answer our prayers because of the motives in which we come before God. Psalm 66, verse 8 speaks about our prayers being hindered and God doesn't hear them because of the sin that is within our hearts. But here with Jonah, I mean, did Jonah have some terrible sin? Well, he did have sin. He ran not just from God's call, but also from God's presence. My dear friends, this morning, the work that God desires to do in us, to change us, to transform us, to make us whole, to make us new. Some of us this morning are entangled in our own sin, and today's the day. Today is the day of salvation. Why put off tomorrow what you can do today? Cry out to God earnestly and ask him for his forgiveness. My friends, don't take my word for it. Just take time to ask the Lord, God, am I too far from your reach? Let him answer the question. I know the answer, and I know the answer he's going to give you. But pray through till you know you've heard the voice of God. Amen? Next is for those who God calls us to. Because God did, as we see in this passage, God did deliver Jonah from his turmoil, from his distress, and from the belly of that fish. But the story wasn't over, was it? God didn't deliver him just for him. God delivered him from a nation that still needed and was ready for repentance. God's salvation unto each of us is not just for ourselves, but that we might tell the world what God has done and what he can do in them. Our responsibility is not the outcome. Our responsibility is to be obedient to what he asks of us to do. I'm going to finish with this thought this morning. It's too much to encapsulate the whole, unless y'all want to stay another 30 minutes. Amen. For another day, though, we can wrestle with this passage together. But in 1 John, particularly 1 John, beginning with chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, and in through chapter 2, it talks about some of these very things, that this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. He continues on, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. doesn't stop there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But then he goes on and says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he talks about our forgiveness, our cleansing, but then he moves right into this context of love and what the way of love is. And I'm just going to briefly summarize this morning. I think it's important, and the Lord's laid it strongly upon my heart throughout the night. The way of love. One who lives in the light of Christ is one who is not controlled by sin. Does it mean you never sin? It means you never have? Read 1 John again, right? Again, we'll dig into the theology of that on another day or after service. If you want to stay, I'll give you another 30 minutes for those who want to stay for part three. I don't know. But one, not being controlled by sin. Two is one who walks in the way of Christ. You see the character and nature of who God is, and you strive to walk in the very nature and character of who he is. Three, one who walks in the way of love is one who obeys the law. He tells us regularly in John 15, he tells us here throughout God's word that those who love me will keep my commandments. Four, and this is the one that I feel needs to be stressed this morning, or that's so heavy upon my heart, I think. I don't know. I just think the heart of God is here for some and wants to remind them. Four is love his brother. The way of love is not to be controlled by sin, is to walk in the way of Christ, to obey the laws of God, and four, to love his brother. Who is my brother, you say? Not just your blood brother. Well, maybe it is your blood brother, my friends. Not by our blood, but by his blood. Maybe it's the one who has so grievously hurt me or hurt my family. And when you think of that person, it makes you stick to the stomach. When you think of the things they've done, first and foremost, we need to ask God to help us to forgive them. And then ask God to begin by God's grace and God's mercy and with the love that God has for them, that God would help us to love them like he loves them. And then we'd even be so bold to come to the place once we get there. This doesn't always happen. It can happen overnight. It can happen right now. You might come and pray through and it will be done and settled forever. Praise be to God. God works miraculously like that today. For some, it might take a little working, and that's okay. But let God work. Amen? Let God start at the first step, and then we might finally be able to get to the step of saying, okay, God, if you'd let me, and if the time is right, I'd be happy for you to use my voice for you to tell them how much you love them and what you'd have for them. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And my dear friends, if you struggle this morning with the question, are you too far from God's reach? None of us are too far for God's reach. The question is, will you let him reach you where you are? Amen. Praise team, as I pray, would you please come? Jesus, continue to do a work in our hearts and our lives this morning, even as we sing, even as we close out service. We talked about many things today, Lord, but God, would you bring back to our heart and mind the thing that you want for each individual? Maybe some are controlled by sin and need to let that go this morning and want to be truly set free from things they've hidden, maybe things they've hidden for years. Some are still holding on and not receiving your mercies and your blessings and the gifts you desire to give them because they're still holding on to the past. Some are hindered because of enemies amongst them. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Smile upon your church today. Speak to your church today. God, we know that you hear and you answer. Would you also help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is longing to say to your church today? And give us the courage to respond as you would have us to this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we respond, as the praise team leads us? Listen to these words, sing these words out, and respond as the Lord would have you to respond, to come and pray here. Pray in the prayer room. We have those who would love to pray with you this morning. And just receive that and respond as the Lord would have us to this morning. Amen.